I'm just going to thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and your mercy, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're so good to us, Lord, Father. May we recognize, Lord, even where we live, Lord, we live in the United States, Lord. May we recognize all the love that you have for us, Lord. Father, I just ask you to empty this vessel, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be able to give the message that you want to give, Lord, not the message from me, but from you, Lord. So, Lord, I just ask, touch the hearts and lives of these folks here, Lord, Father, and may your word just be lifted up and glorified, Lord, and may you be lifted up and glorified, Lord. We thank you for being our King, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for you're going to return, Lord, Father. Things are going to be different, Lord. We thank you for eternal life, Lord. We thank you for a new heaven and a new earth coming, Lord. We thank you for all the promises you give us, Lord. And I especially thank you, Lord, for allowing me to, at 23, cry out to you and trust you, Lord, and watch you change my life. It's such a blessing. It just makes me want to cry. Thank you.
All right. The message on the grief, the grace, and the glory. Let me start out reading, if I get my eyes clear, let me start out reading Genesis. We're going to start right at the beginning, right at the beginning of the book. You know, when you read a book, you start at the beginning. And you know what this is? This is a love letter to all the saints, to all the ones that trust in the Lord. It's a love letter. But it's also a letter that condemns them that won't trust the Lord. And so it's tough because before you really give your heart to the Lord, you read it and you say, ah, it's piercing, it's stabbing, it's tough. And even when you first trust the Lord, it works on you and it hurts because God is dealing with you. And but boy, as you go and as you walk with the Lord, he molds you and he changes you. And he shows you how much he loves you. And he takes care of your need. And he blesses you. And that's why I want to bring this message. Because you need to see how much he cares. And we need to get out there and tell others. And if I can clear my eyes to be able to see the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I'm going to go back over that for a second. In the beginning, God created. Now, God, is God all light and in him is no darkness at all? Is that true? Doesn't God say he's all light and in him is no darkness at all? And so if we have a God that in him is all light and no darkness at all, and who was at the beginning? At the beginning of everything, before it was even space, who was there? God, right? And so if God was there at the beginning, the problem was much bigger than what we ever thought. And God loves you so much. And yet, sometimes religion can walk us away and we can't see the things of the Word of God because we were taught something and it stays in our hearts. And we got to seem to get out the world, get out some of the teachings, and we got to read the Word of God and ask God to show us from the Spirit of God. And so you got, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What's that darkness doing there? What's no form and void? Something happened. The problem is big. And I don't want to concentrate on that. I'm just going to turn the page a little bit. We're going to not read the rest. I'm not going to talk about the waters that were above and the waters that were below, and he put a division in between it. God showed me a lot of things in the Word of God. We're going to turn the page and just see here. And let me go to my... let's get this out. We'll go to 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We talk about the potter and the clay. We're the clay. What does the clay need in order to be molded? It needs water. What is the word? The word is water. That's what it is. God's the wellspring of water that springs up. And so that's our Lord. He wants to show us from this water right here, from this water, how he's going to work in our lives and how he's going to mold us. And so when we get into the Word of God, we can see all these things. God opens our hearts up, opens our minds up. And so I want you to think about we're made of the ground. So then God took his breath. You know what your breath is? Moisture. The dust of the ground needs moisture. Water. You know, you start out in your mother's womb, right? What are you surrounded by? Water. What happens if you were to die in your mother's womb? Where would you go? You go to heaven. Because you started out, you got victory. You got V. You start out with the word victory. Well, I'm not going to turn yet. I want to show you a few things before I get into the victory. So I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. Because I want you to see a few things. 1 Samuel 28:1. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. Now, you got it all in the notes. I don't know if you had that one, but I gave you a lot of things in the notes that you had. But anyways, I want you to realize in those days that the Philistines were a type of the evil one. They were a type of the evil ones. And so when I share this victory message with you, you need to realize that this, in those days, that's a picture of the evil one. The Israelites, you know, they were always at war, and David had to fight Goliath. You know the story. And so, you know, that was their battle, and that was a picture of evil for them. And so as we look at the word victory, you'll see all these things, and it'll give you a message that is a blessed message in the Old Testament. You know, David knew that Jesus Christ was coming. He knew in the Old Testament 1,000 years before Jesus came. And you know how I know that? Because victory, the word victory shows me it. And the Bible all the way through shows you the prophecies and that they knew that the Messiah was coming. They knew it. When you look at Isaiah 53, that boy, if you open that up, that shows you that Isaiah knew that Christ was coming. He may have not known, you know, all about it, but he had a picture of, in part, just like I have a picture in part. I don't know a real lot. I don't even, matter of fact, the more I read the Word of God, the more I know that much and that much. It scares me because I say, Lord, now I want it. Come on, give it to me. You know, I can't get it, you know. And I get it. Oh, yeah, I got stuff. But I say, I want more. Once you get going, you want more. And so I praise the Lord for that. So here we got Ephesians. It talks about the whole armor of God. And I gave you all of Ephesians in there about the armor of God. You got it in your notes there somewhere, right? Yeah, right in the front. With the star, with the paper with the star. And so I'll read that quick. I hope we got enough time. Let me get that out. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what? We get attacked. We get attacked in the church. We get attacked out of the church. We get attacked a lot. And sometimes we attack because we don't know. We don't understand yet. And we think we know. And so the man of us, God always said to be humble. The man of us always wants to come out. It always wants to give us a battle. And so we always got to kick the man down
and say, you got to get down there and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I think I know everything, how stupid I am. Lord, just work on my heart. Holy Spirit, work on my heart. And Lord, teach me the things you want me to see, Lord. And until it's ready to speak, Lord, may I hold my peace, Lord, unless your Holy Spirit moves me, Lord. Help me to be quiet, Lord. Help me to have my two ears open and my one mouth more closed. I should listen two times more than I talk. So give me the strength, Lord. And you know, that should be our prayer. That should be our want. But then when the Holy Spirit says, time to move, it's time to talk, it's your turn. It's time to talk. So then the Lord opens the door, and you go through. And if you don't think you're ready, that's okay. You just ask the Lord to give you strength. You pray, and he does. And so so we go, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, I don't wrestle against you guys. I love you. But yet, the evil one, he wants to make it like, make you think that I'm wrestling against you. I'm not wrestling against you. I love you. I love everybody. I ain't got no enemy. And so, you know, but he does that. Because we're already trained in our minds. We watch the TV, we watch this, we watch that. We see the negatives. Then when we talk to somebody, we're still thinking negative. And we think that they're giving us a negative message, and they're not. Sometimes it's a good message. But then other times it's, you know, we talk to some and they're always in the negative. You want to draw them out of the negative. Come on out of the negative. And so, and I'm very negative many times. I got to say, shut up. Listen, you know, form something, why don't you, you know? But it takes time. It takes time for all of us. He's molding us, the potter and the clay. And so, let's see. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now, does it say, it says stand. It doesn't say blah, 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 blah. Stand. Stand when the Lord tells you to stand.
Hallelujah.
You know, he'll give you the time to talk when the door is open. You don't have to push your way through. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. So when we're ready to speak, what should we be speaking about? Truth and righteousness. Our Lord and his truth. Because this world is going to fill you up with the world. But we need truth, and the truth is in the Word of God. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with it. Why your feet? Because we need to move, you know. Thank you, friend. Thank you. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for everything. You know? Thank you, Bob, for coming over to my house and playing cards with me, that we have a good time. Thank you, Mike. Thank you that I'm able to go with you, Lord, and Mike, and we can have breakfast together, and we can enjoy it. And thank you, Matt, for having a class and you teach me. And I really appreciate you, brother. You know, and you know, that's what it's about. Thank you, brother. I get some money off of my bills. When we work together, we have a good time. All righty. So where am I? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. See, the wicked always comes in there. The Bible always talks about the wicked. The fiery darts of the wicked, you know. You're no good. They used to call me dummy because I didn't know how to read until I was 23. And I learned how to read at a King James Bible. I said, you dummy, you don't even know how to read. Where are you going to get to? What do you know? I don't even want to go there. The negative, right? Okay. So the next one, verse 17, because this is what I want you to catch. I want you to catch this because you're going to see this in the word victory in the Old Testament, 1,000 years approximately, before our Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And I say came in the flesh because he was in the spirit. He was always there.
He talked to the Father when he made us. And I know that because the Word of God says that in Genesis. That's how I know. Okay. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. How often should we pray?
Always.
And what is prayer? Talking to the Lord. Just talking to the Lord. You go on your day. Thank you, Lord. Lord, watch over me as I drive down the road. You know, I haven't had an accident in so long, it almost scares me. You know, the Lord takes care of my cars. You know, the children in the wilderness wandered and their clothes didn't wear out. I got 3 cars and they don't wear out. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful. And that's the way He'll take care of you. Praying always. I go down the road. I try to do it every day, every time I go out. I try to say, Lord, protect me. And Lord, may I not get in an accident as I go, Lord. Lord, may not the deers come out. In Jesus' name, I just ask this, Lord. And I know that You're my Father. You're going to take care of me. And guess what? At 23, and now how old am I? 65. Now I'm 65. And I haven't hit no deers in a long time. Now, I had a few deers back when I was delivering pizzas. And when I jumped in my car and took off and I wasn't thinking about the Word of God, you know. I hit a few. And you might hit one when you're praying. Maybe God wants to wake you up. Say, hey, wake up. You know, you're doing something and you shouldn't be doing it. It's funny, you know, I was going to play a CD. And I was working on the message. And I stayed up till 6:30 in the morning. But I was working on a message. This was earlier. And I was going to put a CD on. And I was going to play the CD while I speak. And I'm thinking, you know, oh, Lord, that's so beautiful. It's Dino playing the piano. Just beautiful. I said, oh, Lord. And I'm singing the songs, and I'm thinking, how can I put the songs in when I speak? And I was ready to do that. And I'm listening to him. And I was getting it down. I thought I had it, you know. And all of a sudden, tape player stopped. I said, oh, CD player. Way on the cord. And I looked at the light. And the light was on. I says, no, the power's down. Mm-hmm. And then it came, and I pressed the button to come back on. So, okay. And so then all of a sudden, it went out again. And so I says, oh, man, you know, I wiggle the cord, and then I look, and the light's out. Everybody knows you lost power, right? Well, God told me, no, don't use that CD. I said, okay, Lord, okay. I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to do it that way. How do you want me to do it, Lord? However you want me to do it, I want to do it. I want to be moved by the Holy Spirit. I don't want my way to interfere with You, Lord. I want You to be able to have free course in my life today and every day. And that's my prayer. And so, again, I want you to focus on that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because as we look in the Old Testament at victory, as we look at that word, you'll see the sword used, and the sword is God's word. And God cleaves to His word. He gives you a promise, and He cleaves to His word. And this is a hidden message in the Word of God. This is a hidden message in the Old Testament. And you only, and you know, I don't want you to get, but I'm just going to tell you, you only get it in the King James Bible. I went in other Bibles, you don't get this message. And so I'm going to share it with you. And we may not share you. I was going to share with you about that. Well, we kind of looked at the armor of God, right? Yeah, we covered that. So we're going to look at victory. And even before I share it with you, you got your folder. Let me find my folder. You got your folder. And so pull out, it's the first page, but it says number 1 on it. See that? Pull that out. And then before I share that with you, I want to share the word. This word, victory. Just like heart. You know what heart is? When God showed me this, and I share it with everybody, and I never hear it come back. I say, well, what happened? How come nobody brings it back? How come I take it out? I send it out all the time. You know what heart is? H-E-A-R, the cross. Hear the T. Hear the cross. Hear what God has for you. Hear the Word of God. Hear the cross. Jesus dying on the cross
rising again, paying your price, giving you the word, all that together. You're the cross. And then I shared a word, time, with you. How are you supposed to spend your time? The cross first, Jesus first. He rose, Jesus, the cross. And then I, and then me. You know, it's all in our words. It's all in our English language. I believe we are the Gentiles. I'm going to just go over here for a second. Because I don't know how much time I got. So I'm going to try to rush it up a little bit. Hang on to this. I think I got all the miracles that Jesus did in there in the folder. Pull that out too. I'm going to keep your hands full. You know where he did the miracles? I'm going to get my notes. This is exciting to me. Did you ever hear of anything? The first mentioned principle, first things mentioned, is very, very important. Did you ever hear that? Does anybody know that? Okay. Well, in the beginning, God. First mentioned principle. God is very important. Made the heaven and the earth, right? The heaven is next. You know why the heaven's next in order? Why the heaven is next? Because they didn't fall. All the angels didn't fall, so they're very important. God's important, and then all the angels that didn't fall are important. And the earth, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, guess what? He loves us. He's our Redeemer. He gave us the Word. He gave us everything because now we're so important. We're third on the list, aren't we? God, and then heaven. We're actually second on the list, aren't we? The earth. But then, the bad news, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And as you read a King James Bible, when he first talks about it, then he said he created the light, and the light was good. But then as you go on, it doesn't say it was good in the King James Bible or other things. It says it was so. So again, I don't want to get caught up in that. I got to get back to this. I'm sorry. I get caught up. I want to share this with you. First mention, this is why I mentioned that, because the first mention principle. The first mention principle, wrong paper. I'll get there. And Tuesday, we talked a little bit about this. Caperium. The first time Caperium is mentioned, it's talking about the area where the Gentiles were. It's talking about, you don't have this in your notes, so I'm just going to share this with you. And it says, here, the preaching ministry of Jesus. And it says, now when Jesus had heard, and this is, let me just see here, chapter 4 in Matthew, verse 12 and on. It says, now when Jesus, you don't have this, so hang on there. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Okay, now Jesus, John's cast into prison. You know, how is that? You know, here's a guy preaching the word of God, loves the Lord, and guess where he goes? In prison. Ain't that something? You know, they might lock me up someday. It's getting bad out there. It is. They'll probably lock me up. And that's okay. You know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope I can shout. You know, John the Baptist, he had to send his disciples to ask if Jesus was the Lord or not when at the end of his ministry. Ain't that something? Yet John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit right from his mother's womb, and none of us are filled with the Holy Spirit right from our mother's womb that I know of. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about anybody filled with the Holy Spirit but John, because he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Read Malachi. It'll tell you that. Well, anyways, let me get back to this. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed unto Galilee. Put up on my reading, I'm very slow. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which was upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, now look at that. Isaiah knew all about this, didn't he? Which was spoken by the prophet, you know, here, and watch what happens. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan of Galilee, of the Gentiles. Well, guess what?
were the Gentiles. We are the Gentile nation. Gentiles is other than the Jewish people. God first ministered and cared about the Jewish people, and they closed their eyes to the fact. They said, well, I want a king now. I want that king to reign. I want him
to be a king, take over, get rid of all these bums.
You know, that's what they wanted. But that's not what God wants. God wants to share love and mercy with you. He wants to share his heart with you. He wants to show you that he loves you. That's why he came and died on a cross and shed all his blood. Not because he had to fly back and be king and take over. And so you got, I'm going to read. So I'm going to go back to 15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea. And you always watch that sea. Not good. Beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. Praise the Lord. The people, the Gentiles that sat in darkness saw great light. Praise the Lord. The Gentiles can absorb some light, man. That's a great thing. That's a super thing that us Gentiles, we saw the light. Amen? We're seeing the light. We got churches with crosses and we know that Jesus rose and we know all these things. Okay, sat in darkness and saw the light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light sprung up. In the shadow of death. You know, if we don't trust the Lord, we die. We die spiritually. We're dead. He gave us a measure of faith. He took that ground and he gave you moisture. And he started to form it. And then he says, you know what? You got a free will. What do you want to do? Do you want to follow me? Or do you want to just kind of go your own way? You know, and then what happens is the water, you don't take the water anymore. You don't dump the water into the ground, which we're made of the ground, the dust of the ground. You don't dump the water. And so, you got a free will. And so God says, well, you know, if you don't take the water, how can I mold you? How can I mold the clay? The clay's going to get cracked up. It's going to get old, broken. It's going to have problems. And so so we need to take the water in. Sometimes God's got to show you where the water is. Okay, so go down. All righty. Well, that's enough of that. Because I just wanted to show you that he's coming to Capernaum. Our Lord Jesus. Down here is Bethany, Jerusalem, and all that. That's where they crucified him. And that's where our Lord rose. He crucified him and he rose. He rose above all that. He is a risen Savior. He rose above it. But guess what he did in his ministry? His brotherhood days he spent in Nazareth. All right? His brotherhood days he spent in Nazareth. And he restores the widow, the widow's Nain, the son. Let me get it. Her son to life. Our Lord restores them. He turns the water into wine over in Cana of Galilee. The Sermon on the Mount was right there. This is all around where the Gentiles are. He's ministering to the Gentiles. He came to give you his word. He wants to bless you and I. He wants us to open up. And now we're the lighthouse that should be sharing to others. Because he gave us his word. He's working in each person's heart. You know how revival starts? It starts right here. And it don't start by knowledge. It doesn't start by knowledge. It starts by a change of heart. That's where. Hear the Christ. Change your heart. Put the TV away for a little while. You know, don't care about flying to New Zealand. You know, and that's okay. If you want to fly to New Zealand, read the Word of God on the way. Get a change of heart. Let the Word of God get in. Let the potter work the clay. Have fun. You know, it's fun. I love it. I love reading the Word. And that takes time. You don't get that overnight. Like I tell you, it starts out as a roller coaster, man.
oh, the world's pulling me this way, and what's this guy talking about? And the world pulls you this way, and oh, maybe it is true, and the world pulls you this way, and you go through this up and down roller coaster, you know? And then, you know, as you read the Word of God, guess what happens? You go through some battles, believe you me. Some fiery darts get thrown at you, you know? But you know what? You stay with the Lord. He starts to smooth out the road, man. It starts to get narrow. It starts to get a nice narrow road. Ah, it's getting easier to walk down that narrow road. Hey, this is good, you know? My cars are all working. The bills ain't coming in as bad, you know? I got cheaper bills. Everything is good. You know, I mean, man, I didn't even know how to read, and here I am today. You know, and I don't have a high school diploma, and I can't even get one. I'm not smart enough in the world. I'm not. That's the way it is. You know, but boy, oh boy, you know, God says He uses the simple to confound the wise, and I'm just a simple guy, and I don't know a lot. Especially don't know a lot about the world. But boy, oh boy, I thank the Lord that I don't. Because then He can give me wisdom. Because if I got too much knowledge in my head moving around, I ain't got no room. It's all too fast. It's going fast. The pace, I can't keep up with that. But boy, if I put some of that, just put some of it aside and let the Lord teach you. Read the Word of God. Ask Him. Don't just read it. Don't read it like a book. Read it like the Word of God. It's a spiritual book. It'll feed you spiritually. It'll show you spiritual insight. Just ask the Lord, Lord, if You're really God, Lord, and this is what I did one day at 23. I said, man, I want a good marriage, and I can see I've got a problem. I don't have no education, and oh, Lord, I'm just a mess, Lord. I need You, Lord. I looked up towards Him, and I said, God, where are You? Where are You? I need You. I was in Dresser Industries. The only way I got my job was I went every day down there with my application. I used to copy the application. I used to have tons of them. And I go down, and Wheeler. What's his first name? I'm bad at names. Do you remember him? Okay. Yeah. It's Mr. Wheeler. I need a job, man. I need a job. Can you hire me? My father was a... Wheeler didn't like that. My father drank a lot. He goes, nah, you don't even have a diploma. Who are you? I says, and the next day, Wheeler. I forget his first name. I'm sorry, I'm calling him Wheeler. Mr. Wheeler, you know? I need a job. I says, oh, he doesn't want to hire me because my dad, you know? But my dad was big in there. He was moving in there, you know? But anyways, finally, Wheeler said, well, all right, I'll make you a chipper, you know. So I'm over there pounding on steel with a 17-pound hammer, and my knuckles are all killing me, my fingers are killing me. I don't want to get all into that. So, but praise the Lord, I got a job. And I could go on. And the Lord put me in my own business. He put me there. I said, Lord, I'm going to tell you about it. Too bad. You're going to stay with me? Are you going to stay with me? It's just going to be some time. Is that all right? You know, I was working at Dresser Industries, and my friend said, he came up to me, and I'm not going to give you his name, you know, right? At Dresser. And he says, the Lord told me that I should be a pastor. Or do the ministry or something. A pastor. I think it was a pastor. And he said, and so I told the Lord, give me a sign. He told me, now I'm a babe in Christ. I'm just learning the Word of God. And that's why we start as a baby in the flesh, because it's all spiritual. If you grab a hold of it, it's the same thing when you trust the Lord and start reading the Word of God. Even though you might think you're smart and everything, you're just a baby in Christ. And you're starting to grow. Well, anyways, I'm just a baby in Christ and just learning. Matter of fact, he used to come over to my house and teach me how to read. Well, not really. He used to read the scriptures to me. And he said, Ken, you got to learn how to read. He says, I can't dump all this information in you. You got to learn how to read. He says, how am I going to learn how to read? He says, pray, ask the Lord to teach you. So I prayed and asked the Lord to teach me. And you know, you got to put footsteps to your prayer. So I opened my Bible, opened the dictionary. I looked up the word after the word. Well, anyways, okay, so that's how I learned how to read, from the King James Bible and the dictionary. And so, he says, I told the Lord to close Dresser.
And you know, babes in Christ, God reveals a lot to them. And so I said, Aunt, I said, what'd you do? What'd you do? Why'd you do that? He says, you know, I work here. I work here. And he said, well, he says, I asked the Lord to close dresser if he wants me to preach. I said, oh, man. So I prayed, I said, Lord, if you're going to close dresser, give me a sign, Lord. Give me a sign, man. I just bought that new truck, Lord, and I got, you know, children and my wife. I'm supporting. I'm the main soul of the income, Lord. How am I going to do this, Lord? You know, I don't got no education. Where am I going to go? And so, give me a sign, Lord.
The names went up on the board, didn't they? The names went up on the board. I said,
I thought, and I thought about it. Okay, but I'm 8502. I got some time here. I'm all right. All right, Lord, if that's my sign, you know, I'm going to watch that if that's my sign. And so I kept my eyes on that, and more went up on the board. I said, okay, Lord. Okay, I love my van, but you know what? I'm going to sell it. So I put my van out for sale. And I said, Lord, I love that van. I was lost, and I cared about the van. I was putting the rugs in the van and making it all like a camper van, and put the stereo system in, captain chairs, and all that stuff. First brand new vehicle I ever had, and oh, man, this was my vehicle. And I said, Lord, you know, I love that vehicle, but you know, I'm just going to get rid of it because I know that it's better to get rid of it than to get stuck with it, and then I lose it anyways. And so, anyways, I took that vehicle, and I put it out for sale, and I lived on 274 Maple Road. Nobody goes down that street. I put it out there, and I said, Lord, I says, you know, I don't even want to see it be sold. And I went to work, and I come home, and my wife says, a guy across the way, he wants to buy your vehicle. I says, oh, yeah? And so I could go on and on. I'm not going to go on and on. You know, I'm just telling you, the Lord is so good to you. Oh, so, you know, if you can only recognize all the blessings, how far he took you already, everybody, you know? Amen. I mean, we live in the United States. Just think if you lived in Africa or, you know, places that are getting bombed, shelled, and, you know? I wouldn't even want to be born in Israel right now, you know what I mean? It's, I don't know. You know, again, I'm stupid, you know? Maybe I should have been born in Israel. So anyways, okay. So I just wanted you to see this. You got the notes. That's who he cares about. He cares about us, the Gentiles. That's who we are. And so we covered the Philistines as a type in those days of the evil one, right? We covered the dust of the ground. We're the ground. All right. And we also covered the sword, which is the word of God. And the Lord clings to the sword. Okay. I want to show you this, and then we'll get into the scripture. Do you see the victory in your life? You start out in your mother's womb, surrounded by water. If you were to die there, you'd have peace and victory. You can turn that either way. For the 70s, like this. Or is it like this? I don't know. And for the World War II, victory, victory. It was all over. God showed you in the English language. I see the cross. Or why don't you see? And if you take away the tail that points down, what do you got? You got a V.
Victory.
Victory. If you can show the older people to the Lord. You may be in the center of your life. You may have started in your mother's womb, and you come out of your mother, and you got a little older, and you see, and you go by the churches, and you see the cross, and you hear people talking to you, and you get a track once in a while years ago. I don't even know. I haven't got a track in so long, it scared me. I haven't heard about, we need to fear the Lord, because he's powerful and great. If he wants to wipe out America, he could just like that. He made us. He knows everything about us. So the fear of the Lord is healthy. It's a good thing. But we need to see the love, man, because he loves you. He cares about you. He came to rescue you. He came because he just dumping out mercy on you. And so that's when you, you know how you get victory? You trust the victor. It's that simple. It's in our words, just like heart, just like time. I could go on. Gentile. You know what Gentile is? Gentle without the I. Well, we're the I. So we need to be gentle. I need to be gentle because I'm a Gentile. Amen? It's all over in our words. God put it there. God inspired even our words, our English language. So I'm going to go on. Okay, we're going to get to this. Let's get to this. Now, these scriptures, many of you know your Bible, and then you know that it's talking about David and Absalom, and it's not even a good story, okay? You know all that. But put that all aside, because when there's a hidden message, the message that's hidden is not going to reflect on all that. It's not going to reflect on that. Because it's hidden, it takes one thing here, one thing there, one thing there, one thing there, and it shows you a hidden truth. And here we go. So we start out, and everybody's got that one. We start out, let's see here. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. Now, why would the king be grieved for his son? He's going to die on the cross. Do you know when Jesus was in his ministry and he was preaching and teaching, and the apostles were all with him, man, let's go. And he started slipping it in there, man. I came to die. I'm going to be crucified. You know, no, Lord, we'll go with you all the way. No, you can't. You can't. I'm going to pay your price. You come too short. I come too short. We all come too short. That price has got to be paid. It's got to be paid by the Savior. And so he did all the miracles. And so, you know, you're the apostles and the disciples are following him. And man, we're going forward. And all of a sudden it starts to get kind of dark. Because now, all of a sudden, they want to put Jesus to the cross, man. They want to crucify him. They want to get rid of him. The evil one, working through people, wants to get rid of our Lord and Savior. The evil one works. You know, this is just a vessel. And this vessel died in trespasses and sins. So my vessel was actually dead. I walked around as a dead man, doing what I wanted to do. But then I found the Lord, and guess what came in? The Holy Spirit comes into you. And so that's what we have. And you know, you walk too long in sin, you walk too long, and then evil can come in. So you gotta watch, because there's a lot of evil out there. Okay, so, and the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And so if Jesus Christ goes and the people are grieved because he's going to the cross, he's carrying the cross, and they can see it, and the king is grieved, and the people, you know, are watching this, and all of a sudden, they put him on the cross. And they think they got him. The devil thought he won. Man, I nailed him. But guess what happened? Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. So there it is, the next verse. And it's not in the order of reading the Bible, it's in the order of victory. It's only listed six times in the Old Testament, six times in the New. You know why six? The number of man. If you know about numbers, it's the number of man. God reaching out to man in the Old Testament, and God reaching out to man in the New. And this shows me that David knew all about Jesus Christ, because it's all about his writings and Psalms. And it's all connected. He arose and smote the Philistines. Who's the Philistines a type of? The evil one, right? in those days, right? Until his hand was weary, and his hand cleaved to what? The sword, the word of God. God says, I'm going to carry out my word. My word is truth. I'm going to carry it out to the end. So he cleaved to the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And you know what happened when Jesus arose? His disciples and everything, Peter went back fishing, only to spoil. Remember, everything that's done for Christ will last, but if you do everything in the world for worldly gain, that's going to burn up. So they only went back to spoil. Everybody kind of, well, look at, where's our Savior? He's not here. Let's go back. Let's go back and go fishing. Let's do this. Let's do that. And so we go on. But he stood in the midst of the ground. Even though we went back, even though they went back, and they didn't, say, I'm going to preach the word of God, or I'm going to stand for the Lord, or I'm going to talk about Jesus, or I'm going to talk about the miracles. They forgot all about the miracles. They went back to their jobs. But even though they did that, remember, they're the ground. We're the ground. And so it says, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. See, this is a hidden message. It's only for them that really want to hear. If you don't want to hear, you won't understand it. It doesn't make no sense. And so, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And now you see, again, that's a type in those days of the evil one. That's a picture and a type. You know, Jesus said he spoke in parables, and without a parable he spoke not in some areas of the Bible. And so if he arose, and if he got the victory because he arose, right, what would be the next thing that would be said? Thine, O Lord, this is in Chronicles, it's a different place now. We were in Samuel, now we're in Chronicles. I'm taking an order. Victory. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the victory. The greatness and the power and the glory and the victory. And the majesty for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art head, exalted head above all. You see that now, he said right there in heaven. He already had heaven. He already had his angels. They didn't go anywhere. But now he got the victory by rising on the earth for us. He won the victory. And so, what can we do if he wins the victory? We can sing a new song. And here's, I believe, one of David's songs. It's one of the Psalms. It's 98:1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. Where does Jesus sit? Where does Jesus sit? I think he sits at the right hand of God, doesn't he? Oh, sing unto the Lord. Now, this is Old Testament, written 1,000 years before Jesus Christ came. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ has gotten him the victory. He's showing you, he's showing David, he's showing Isaiah, he's showing the prophets. Before he even came, he showed them. Why do you think they went forward? Why do you think they wrote the scriptures? They were inspired by God. God gave them the message. And so he turned the page. And so what would be next? What would be the next thing he would do? How about this? In Isaiah 25:8, he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. Amen? And why? Why? What's the end of that verse? For the Lord hath spoken it. We have his word. We have the Holy Bible. How's our time? Are we running out of time? This is only 6 verses. I didn't even get into the New Testament. How are we doing for time? Are we over, or what do I do? Over? Got it? All right. You know, I want to do an altar call. Get close to the Lord. Ask the Lord to touch your heart. If he's working on you, come to an altar. Let him work on you. Let him mold you. If you really don't know the Lord, come up. And if you want somebody to take a Bible and show you things, they will. They'll show you. They'll show you that the Lord loves you. They'll show you, the Word of God. Let me just turn it in there. One more thing. It's in there. It's in our thing. See that welcome there? I didn't even go over that. I gave you these verses in the New Testament. You got these too. I'm going to read the first one. I got to read the first one. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he sent forth judgment unto victory. You know, Lucifer had music. He could make music. He had reeds built in him, a picture, types, you know, spiritually. You know, it doesn't mean he had a wooden thing in him, you know. But he was a bruised reed. God cast him down. And shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he sent forth judgment unto victory. Our Lord, today we got a smoke screen out there. You can't see nothing. They're smoking flax, man. You try to figure out the news. You try to figure out, you know, what would be the best president. You try to figure out, this is smoking flax. They're smoking flax all over the place. You can't figure things out. I mean, you try, you get a little taste, you get a little insight, but all of a sudden then you find out, what did he do? Or what's this? What happened to that? Just crazy. You know what I'm talking about. And so when you read this, sorry. So when you read this, there's a welcome note in there. And the welcome note, if you turn it over, it's the only verse that's left out here. And the Lord, this is also a love letter to you. This is the six verses in the New Testament, God reaching out to the Gentiles. And he leaves that verse out, and it's right in between. It's amazing how he did that. And we were reading Corinthians today. You got 1 John 4. Let me go back here. Up here. You got 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And right in between there's one verse missing. If you turn that welcome over, that's the verse. That little card that says welcome. If you pull it off there and you turn it over, that's the verse he left out of the word victory. Somebody read me that verse. Can somebody read me that verse? It's the white one, the welcome one. There you go. Read me that verse. Can you?
The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
You know, it's pretty simple. You know, the sting of death is sin, yet it's complicated because there's messages there. The sting of death is sin. If we sin, we're going to get stung. That's the way it is. But the strength of sin is the law. You know, if you go 90 miles an hour and kill somebody, guess what? You broke the law. You just killed somebody. That's death. Now, it also means other things in there. But, you know, God gives it. God's speaking to the Gentiles. God's speaking to us. He's trying to keep us from getting hurt. Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. And so, I think we're going to close. If anybody else wants to come to the altar, and you want to have music or whatever. Okay. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I love you all, and I care about you.